This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Psalm 119 with Time for the Lord to Act. Let no iniquity get dominion, righteous forever, you are near, and the sum of your word is truth. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn 816.
Thank you.
A reading from 2 Peter chapter 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. These are waterless spirits, springs, and mists driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if after they have escaped the defilement of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen.
I want to start this morning with a question, and I'll ask for a show of hands. How many of you remember your confirmation? If you remember it, raise your hand. Well, I'm not surprised. Thank you very much. Your confirmation, I'm guessing, was a whole lot more recent than mine. May 21st, 1961, and I still remember it. So I'm not surprised if you remember yours. Now in my case, and I'm guessing it's true for a lot of you too, it was really a big deal. My parents were there. Of course, my dad kind of had to be. He was the one who confirmed me. My brother and sister, of course. My grandparents. My godparents, that was a little unusual, and then other assorted friends and relatives. So they were all there, and after church, we had a great big party. Now, after so many years, the details are just a little fuzzy. But I do remember the ceremony, and I remember the vows, in particular this one. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Even death. That really made me think, and even today it really makes me think. Talk about something important. What could be more important than that? But that's what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. That's what it meant to be a Christian. But now, why? Why would the church ever have such an expectation from its members? Why would they want to make you take a promise that's going to last all your life and that might even cost you your life? Well, of course, it's because the faith that we confess was that important? Is that important? It puts us into a right relationship with God. It saves us. it's the only faith that can do that. That's it. There's nothing else. So, of course, we want to be faithful. We want that kind of faith and commitment. And so we promise, I do so intend by the grace of God. By the grace of God. By the help of God. Why this addition? Why these extra words? Well, just this. We can't do it on our own. The words may be easy to say, I mean, really easy. But the doing, that's hard. And this morning's scripture lesson, in part, explains why it's so hard. So listen again to at least parts of it. There will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time this morning trying to name the false teachers, so much as I want to explain just a little bit more why their doctrine was so appealing. Because St. Peter comes back to it again. He talks about it twice. Listen now to the second time. Speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. Sensual passions of the flesh. These are the temptations that lead us away from the one who redeemed us and right down the path to swift destruction. Now, each of you knows that God, in the first place, made man, body and soul, and both parts were good. From top to bottom, inside and out, good, very good. But sin wrecked it. And therefore, the body, which by nature develops desires, hunger, thirst, and the like. And when those desires are satisfied, the body experiences pleasure. Well, this body that defines each and every one of us has become so disordered and so corrupted by sin that those pleasures, if left undisciplined, unchecked, lead absolutely to disaster. And not just spiritual disaster, but disaster in the here and now. Capable actually of hurting the bodies by excess, and then leading to shame and outrage, both for ourselves, our family, and friends. Now, we know this. History shows it to us. Current events show it to us. And yet, in spite of all that, passion is strong. It's very strong. And especially when we are in an environment of so-called friends who suggest, encourage, and entice. Oh, don't be silly. That won't hurt. Everybody does it. It's cool. Your parents are never going to find out. Come on. It's fun. And you know, they're saying the very things that our sinful flesh likes to hear. It's kind of like the devil tempting Eve. Did God really say that? That you couldn't eat of that fruit? He just wants to keep you in your place. He just wants to keep you ignorant. Come on, at least take a look. And so Eve did look, and desire set in. She saw that that tree was good for fruit, and a delight to the eyes, and a desire to eat that which would make her wise. And so she ate, and you know the result. Now, remember that confirmation vow. You really mean to keep it. But once you start down the road of giving in to sinful desires, sinful pleasures, it becomes ever harder to stop. Of course, sometimes your conscience kicks in, but then you kick right back at your conscience. Did God really say that? Oh, I don't think so. God wants me to be happy, doesn't he? And any religion that tells me these things are wrong and that I can't do this stuff, well, I've had it. I don't believe that. I'm not going to church anymore. But now, listen again to the warning of our text. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse than the first. It would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back. And then in these really unforgettable images, our text concludes, the dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. That's pretty ghastly, isn't it? That's the way St. Peter concludes the warning in this morning's text. But that's not how we're going to conclude this morning. As if we're left to our own devices, our own power, our own strength to keep our confirmation promises. For in the faith that we actually do confess, what do we say? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. I cannot. But the Holy Spirit calls me by the gospel, enlightens me with his gifts, sanctifies, and here's the big word for us this morning, keeps us in the one true faith. Now that's God's promise. For he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's God's promise. And you know, God's a lot better at keeping his promises than we are. In the Christian church, we don't live by our promise keeping. No, we live by his promise keeping. Our confirmation vow keeping is one thing, but we depend upon God's keeping his promise in Jesus Christ, our Savior. His life, his death, his resurrection, forgiveness of sins, all of them, including biting the forbidden fruit, all of them paid for, forgiven, and gone. That's our hope. That's our strength. That's our rock. That's our solid foundation that no one, not even Satan, the great tempter himself, no one can ever take away. So, yes, let's keep our confirmation vows. Let's keep them right up to the end of our lives because God keeps his in Jesus Christ. Now, we're kind of vacillating. We're up and down. We can't rely on ourselves, but we can rely upon him. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I cry to you, O Lord.
In the morning my prayer comes before you.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with a willing spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all the day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness.
O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. O God, because your abiding presence always goes with us, keep us aware of your daily mercies, that we may live secure and content in your eternal love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Christ, our defender, protect us from all those whose plans would subvert your truth through heresy and schism, that as you are acknowledged in heaven and on earth as one and the same Lord, so your people, gathered from all nations, may serve you in unity of faith. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you,
my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless us and defend us from all evil and bring us to everlasting life.